your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moye, your host, and we have got a treat for you this evening. Tonight, we're going to start our Elite Athletes Redefined series. And what we try to do is basically outline to you mothers out there various different tools and resources you can use that you can actually help your child go to the next level. But to get to the next level, you've got to consider the various different steps that takes your child to that level. We're going to be talking to a series of parents over the next month or so and find out what it was like raising elite athletes. And for us tonight, we have a very, very special guest. Her name is Scarlett Huntley. Now, Scarlett, of course, very affectionately called Mother Huntley by many, maybe 1,000 fans in the sports of football, but throughout the community, there's probably another, 1,000 of because of her magnificence of giving unconditionally. She was recognized in 1990 in the Ebony's Special Tribute to Mothers, and as a champion of one who perfected the art of nurturing and turning it into an art form. Now, again, when we hear these kind of words, we think, well, mothers are generally nurturers. But think about this. She had exactly 11 children and 56 foster kids. In the meantime, she had an opportunity to not only raise these wonderful children, but she ended up having two great NFL football stars. And how she did that, we will find out. But I know back in Jack Canfield's Chicken Soup for Sport Fans, there were thousands of stories that were submitted by Scarlett's child, Ricky Huntley. And out of 1,000, 101 were chosen. And again, it was a story about Scarlett. And they tell of a seamstress named Scarlett and a barber named James that had very little money, few worldly goods, but plenty of love and courage. I would like for you tonight to welcome here with a warm welcome and applause Scarlett Huntley to our show tonight.
Thanks.
Welcome, Scarlett.
Thank you.
Now, Scarlett, your task tonight is to tell us how you did it. And I know you can't do that in 1 hour of a show, but we're going to see if we can pick your brain a little bit and get a little bit of the details. Now, I understand that they say you grew up poor, your kids grew up poor, living in projects, but poor to somebody is different than someone else because someone can be poor and have so much love that they don't even know they're poor.
Yes. We didn't know. My children never knew they were poor until they got to be teenagers. They thought we, and a few of the neighbors thought that, we really had something. And it was all because of, I guess, how I had to teach them. We had to enjoy the good, the bad, in order to appreciate the good.
Now, how did you actually spread that love around? So let's just say you were very young when you got married, I think 15?
14.
14 years old, and this handsome, debonair person named James came along. What was that like?
Oh, that's a long story, Ida.
Well,
that, it's going to take a while to tell that story. However, I was 14 when I got married, and I had my first child at 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Virginia, at the time, what was it like to be raising children?
I would say like Orlando, any other place, any normal place. We had a neighborhood where everybody loved each other. Your family was my family. You took care of my children, and I took care of yours. I had a friend that go to store this Friday and get groceries, and we shared. And then next Friday, I went to store, and we shared.
So in other words, there was a lot of family between and nurturing among the neighbors themselves.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Among friends.
And then, of course, the friendship as well, and their kids were your kids, and your kids were their kids.
Yes.
Which we don't see a lot of that today, but still, that was so long ago. But I'm considering looking at raising black children in Virginia back that time.
It was rough, but I was one that had to do whatever I had to do to raise my children. Number one, I lived around my mother that worked for people and treated her in the kind of way. And I was determined I wasn't going to have that with me nor my children.
Okay.
So it was kind of rough, but it was easy for me considering for some.
Did you get any help from, like, other sisters and brothers of yours?
No. I was next to the oldest.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
So therefore I helped raise
my sisters
and brothers.
Yes,
yeah.
You did. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about your firstborn.
Okay. Reggie. Reggie was, well, we called him Buster. He was a character. I'm telling you, a real character. He was one of the kids that you had to whip for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If they had child abuse during that time, I probably would have been under the jail.
Okay.
So he was that kind of kid.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But it was so funny. When he was three and I saw him and his temper, the temper that he had and how he, you know, would fight, and I looked at him, and I saw a replica of myself and my husband in my child, and I had to run and find me a doctor to get me together so that I would be in better shape to raise my children.
Okay. So that was, again, something that you recognized and you realized that if you can't do it by yourself, you need to get some assistance. And it's okay to recognize when you can't do it yourself. A lot of mothers are very silent on things like that. But you recognize that you needed some help.
Yes.
Just tell me one great memory that you have of him.
A great memory of him as a kid or as an adult.
It could be any moment that you just want to cherish for the rest
adult,
of your life.
I
yes.
saw this young man go make a 110-degree turnaround in his life before he passed. I mean, it was like, oh, my God. It's just a memory will always stay in my mind. He was a totally different man. I'll say 2 years before he was killed in a car accident.
Wow.
And that's the greatest memory.
That's a great gift to you.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. And then, of course, your second born, was it a boy or a girl?
The second born was a girl. That's Renita. She's the oldest girl.
Renita. Okay.
Yes, that's Renita. Renita is a wonderful young lady. She took care of all. She was the mama-like, you know, for the other children. And so much so that my baby boy, Derek, he used to tell me, I'm going to tell Nita on you. Okay, you tell Nita, and I'll fix you and Nita.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so Nita was the one that kind of took care of, you know, looked out for the other children when I wasn't around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, today, Renita is she still in Virginia with you? Or
no, Renita's in Cincinnati. She moved maybe a couple of years ago. She's in Cincinnati where Ricky is now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, what one moment do you remember that you were always curious about Renita? I know there's many, but what's one of those one moments?
To know that when I was gone, I could depend on her to take care of the house while I was gone, take care of the children, make sure everything was in place.
Very responsible, then.
Very responsible.
Send kudos out to her.
Yes.
Fantastic. And then, of course, we have our third born.
Okay, that was Debbie. Debbie was the little quiet one, stayed to herself for a little bit, and she has grown to be quite a young lady today. She is now the director of adult and continuing education here in Chesapeake.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Absolutely. So following in your footsteps, educating people and nourishing people seems to follow right along with Debbie in that respect.
Yes. I live my life, I think, Ida, through my children. Everything they did, other than the boys playing football, everything they did, those were things that I wanted to do as a youngster.
So you instilled that, those goals and things into them. So was goal setting part of your dialogue to your children?
The sky was the limit for my children. This is one thing I used to tell them all the time. I don't care what you do, whatever you want to be. You can be anything you want to be, if you want to be it, and the sky is the limit.
Oh, that sounds like something people can take to the bank, no matter how old you are.
Yes.
In that respect, and also pass it on to their children as the Huntley or Scarlett Huntley's legacy in that respect.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about your next child. It'll be your fourth child.
Okay. Now the fourth child was Ricky. Wait a minute, Adi, you got me going
wrong. I got you from, well,
now.
We need
okay,
a second.
So many of them.
You got Debbie.
We went from bus. Wayne. Wayne was the second child.
Okay,
Wayne, believe it or not, Wayne was the child that was adopted when he was 3 years old.
Okay.
And he found me when he was 14.
Oh, wonderful. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was a time of my life that I tried to block out, but all the years I knew where he was. I saw him from time to time, and he didn't know who I was, but I knew where he was. And then at 14, we moved in the neighborhood where he lived, and I used to sat on the porch and watch him pass my house every day going to school. And he used to wonder. He said now that he think about it, he wondered who this lady was that sat on that porch every morning and every evening. Yes, he was put up for adoption when he was 3 years old, 3 months old, I'm sorry. And he found me when I was 14. Matter of fact, I was one of the first, the 12th, family to move into the new project in the city of Petersburg, and they had a big write-up in the paper, and that's how he found me.
Ah, now I know raising foster children, that's very temporary, and they have guidelines with them that you bring them into your home, and then at some point in time the children move on.
Yes.
That's 56 times that you had to say goodbye to children.
Yes.
How did you muscle the strength to do that?
And it wasn't easy, especially those, you know, some you get attached to, and there are others that you're saying, okay, when you come to get him, you know. But
okay.
There were some, and especially, I especially have to mention Clyde. That was my special kid.
Okay.
And when I left Petersburg, I told him, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going. Okay, you got to find a place to go. He was 22 years old,
okay.
But he was a special needs child. But he just couldn't believe that I was leaving Petersburg and going to leave him. So finally he moved out just before I left Petersburg.
Well, folks, we've got a lot to hear about these children and all this love and how she spread it out to you. And, again, you've got 5 or 6 kids. Think about fostering 56 foster kids and raising 11 kids of her own. This is a phenomenal story. You don't want to miss this as we unfold the mysteries of actually looking at raising elite athletes through the perspective of a mother. We'll be back in 3. This is Ida Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Four. Golf is not just a game, it's a global industry. If you're a PGE, that's professional golf enthusiast, tee off every Tuesday on The Green with Lounge 19. We'll feature interviews and tips from fascinating industry leaders, as well as take you to some of golf's most intriguing locales. Finally, an in-depth, interactive show that takes on the game and business of golf, as it is today and tomorrow. On The Green with Lounge 19, featuring your host Glenn Yopis, is heard live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. On Voice America Sports, IntensitySportsRadio.com, and Lounge19.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moy, your host, and you are listening to the Sports Mavericks Show. Tonight we are talking about the elite athlete redefined, and we are launching a new series, which is Raising Elite Athletes from a Mom's Perspective. And our special guest tonight is Scarlett Huntley. And, of course, this is a woman who has not only raised two NFL greats, but have actually raised a total of 11 children and 56 foster children. So she has touched a lot of lives and made a major difference out there. And I want you to welcome Scarlett back to the show.
Thank
welcome, Scarlett.
Thank you.
Thank you back to the show. Well, of course, we're talking about our kids again. Okay. We want to make sure we get shout-outs to all your kids out there. And, of course, great blessings to your foster kids out there. Now, of course, you know, you talked about Debbie, but then you had Ricky. And then during the period that Ricky was growing up as your youngest, you then took in a foster child named Janice. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, became your daughter as well.
She became my daughter as well.
Yes. Okay. So tell me how it was having Ricky and Janice both growing up together, because obviously they had to share that space.
Well, Debbie and Janice are the same age.
Okay.
Okay. But Janice is between Debbie and Ricky.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes they have a little thing going about I'm number five, you know.
Okay.
I'm the number five or number six child. But anyway, Janice was one child that my father and my stepmother was raising. And when my stepmother got sick, Janice came to live with me. Well, I moved in with my father so that I could take care of Janice while he worked. Getting a larger place so we would have space, and I finally went to court because I didn't have the money to take care of her, so therefore I had to go to court to to kind of relieve myself of custody and have her go into custody, the state take over custody in order to have some assistance to help take care of her. But it worked out just fine.
So, again, Janice Kane became a part of the family.
Yes, at 8 years old.
And so Debbie now had a little sister.
Yes.
And, of course, Ricky had another sister.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, then we get into boys. You started to have boys.
Yes.
Lots and lots of boys. Okay.
Yes.
So how did the house change? Because, you know, you had Renita, Debbie, Janice, and now here's Ricky, and here comes Lamont.
Well, it didn't change. My household didn't change, Ida, because of, I had control in my house. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
We respected each other. You
okay.
know, everybody respected each other. So, and everybody knew who was large and in charge.
Okay. Now, okay. Hold that point. Let's talk about how boys do things different than girls.
Okay.
So, how did that shift in your home?
I didn't see a lot of boys do things different than girls because we were a family that we always sat down. On Saturdays was our day
okay. For
having family discussions. We talked. Everybody was allowed to express themselves and tell me how they felt about things. I remember one time Ricky saying to me, "But Scarlett, you yelled at me, and I didn't do anything." And I had to find myself saying, "I'm sorry," because I didn't even remember yelling at him. And speaking of yelling, I have learned today, Ida, with children, we hear them better when we don't yell. I just learned that here in the past maybe 10 or 12 years. We have to listen to the children. We can't yell at them, because when we're yelling at them, we don't hear what they're saying.
I hear what you're saying. But Christmas is a little different as opposed to getting dolls. You now were buying footballs, basketballs, baseballs.
Well, the girls did the dolls. I think my girls stopped playing with dolls, I believe, when they were maybe 9 or 10 years old, maybe.
Were any of your girls sport inclined?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was Debbie or Janice?
Debbie was the cheerleader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Debbie was the cheerleader. Debbie was always involved in all the activities in school, and I just remember telling her a few months ago, her daughter is also involved in everything in school, and she said, "Oh, she's going to wear one of these gowns that she's already got." I said, "Why? You never wore one."
Okay.
But once, so why would she, you know?
Okay.
So you have to come sometimes go back and remind them.
That exactly what they did is not necessarily what they want their children to do. It's like changing the rules,
and
you can't do that.
Yeah.
Now, when did you first notice that Ricky was very good at sports?
When he was a little boy, believe it or not, Ricky used to hide his gear under the bed, his football stuff under the bed. Because he didn't want me to know that he was playing football, because I was always afraid that he would get hurt. Well, I never wanted them to play football.
Oh, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
You were the type of mother that really felt that playing football would injure them. And so you were pushing something else. Was that education?
Yes, ma'am.
So
ma'am.
Education was foremost in your mind.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what you were pushing.
That's right.
Okay, so now, how did he excel in school?
Very well.
Okay.
Very well. They did well enough. Lamont and Ricky both got scholarships. They got four-year scholarships to the University of Arizona, so they had to make it academically, you know, to get those scholarships. They wouldn't have passed them because I would not have let them pass them if they weren't doing well in school. I have one kid that I had them to keep back because he wasn't doing well.
Okay.
I asked them to keep him back because
so you set the standards for your children.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you were you the type of parent that went to the school and sat down with the teacher and looked at their lesson plans and things of that nature?
I can't say that I sat and listened to the sat with them and went over lesson plans. No, I won't say that. But I had enough contact with that school that every teacher knew that if they had a problem with my children, all they had to do was call me.
Okay.
They knew that, or come to my house. If I didn't have a phone at the time, they knew all they had to do, or send a note home. To the point where I remember when Ricky was in middle school, and Ricky had a habit of laughing a lot. You know, if he started laughing, he couldn't stop for an hour. Okay. So, therefore, one of his teachers said to him, okay, Ricky, I'm going to call Ms. Hunter. Oh, please, Mr. Harrison, please don't call my mama. Do anything, but just don't call my mama.
Folks, we're talking about Coach Ricky Huntley. You know, we're talking about Coach who, of course, was drafted, by actually the Cincinnati Bengals, but then went to Denver and stayed from 1984 to 1987.
Yes.
And, of course, went to the Cardinals and played, and also to the Raiders. And
yes.
Is the only, I understand, the only Hall of Famer from University of Arizona, I understand, in the Hall of Fame of football, college football.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're talking about a kid who mom did not want to play football, but found some kind of way to play football and get his academics as well.
Yes.
And it has to come from a mother who was strong, set the rules out front, and gave great expectations to her children. So this is a great thing to hear. Now, Scarlett, going back to this, let's talk about who was Ricky's mentor in football.
Coach Jarvis.
Okay.
Coach Jarvis, that was his special person. Ollie, it was there with him. Matter of fact, Ricky was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates out of high school for baseball.
Okay.
And it was Coach Jarvis, I think, was his baseball coach. But his football coach was Coach Jenkins and Coach Oldenwelder, which went to the University of Arizona. And it was Coach Oldenwelder that suggested that Ricky make a visit to Arizona and just to see if he liked it.
Okay.
And that's how Ricky got to Arizona, because of his coach that was an alumni there.
So now, having a conversation with those coaches, did they tell you how talented your son was?
Oh, yes.
Did they make you a believer?
Oh, yes.
And how did they do that?
Just telling me what they were capable of doing, both of them, Lamont and Ricky. And Kevin played for a little while. But my boys had bad knees. There was something going on with the kneecaps. So Kevin had to stop and be the equipment manager, but Ricky and Lamont continued on.
Okay.
And they became wonderful, wonderful football players, and today, wonderful men.
Well, and that's a tribute, of course, to you setting that foundation.
Yeah.
Obviously, goal setting must have been a part of your household. Inspiration, sky is the limit,
yes.
That being your legacy, says that, in fact, that this must be why today, Scarlett, you are called Mother Huntley, affectionately by so many. I'll be right back in three minutes. This is Ida Moye talking. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about Scarlett Huntley's legacy that she has left on the mark of football and in life for so many people. Again, Ida Moye, your host.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Up goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, The Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
At last, a program for football wives. Join life coach Lanier Turner-Frazier every week for Football Wives Who Win. This program will unite and shine the spotlight on football wives on all levels and recognize football wives for their personal achievements and professional accomplishments. This empowering and motivational talk show will tackle some of the hard-hitting issues and challenges faced by football wives and provide insight, inspiration, and encouragement for wives to become the winners they are destined to be. Join life coach Lanier Turner-Frazier for Football Wives Who Win every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you love sports and like food, or like sports and love food, or are anywhere in between, Sports Bites might just become one of your favorite ways to spend your lunch break. Broadcasting Thursdays at 12 o'clock noon on the West Coast, it's Sports Bites with Chef Di, a delicious, enlightening, and entertaining mix of sports, food, and celebrity athletes.
Yummy.
Don't miss Sports Bites with Chef Di, Thursdays at noon on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We won't lose a minute here talking to our special guest, Scarlett Huntley, the mother of Coach Rickey Huntley and Lamont Huntley, two NFL greats. Now, at our break here, Scarlett, we were talking about why education was important in your home and that it was secondary to athleticism. I understand that early on you had said that you only completed the 10th grade.
I didn't complete the 10th grade.
Did not complete the 10th grade.
I was passed to the 10th grade, and then I dropped out.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But after 25 years, I went back and got my GED.
And I understand that was the year that your daughter, Debbie, finished college.
Same year Debbie finished college.
So that must have been a really great party.
It was.
Tell me how you celebrated with your children.
Well, to tell you the truth, Ida, we didn't find this out until last year. That she graduated the same year that I got my GED because she went online and found it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And so again, you're unbeknownst to you, you're doing something fulfilling your dream at the same time helping your children fulfill their dreams.
That's right.
That's quite honorable.
Yes.
Now we talked a little bit about the fact that you had two great NFL players,
yes,
who played the game.
Yes.
But I think what I hear you saying to me is that you're not so much, their NFL careers were fabulous careers, but what you're most important about is the type of men that they became.
Yes, 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 wonderful, wonderful men.
Talk to me about Rickey. He's a jokester. Okay?
Yes, he is.
He's a jokester. Okay?
Yes, he is. He loves to joke around. Matter of fact, all of them do. You get all of them together, Ida, you got trouble.
Okay.
You got trouble. So, but yeah, Rickey liked to joke around a lot. But he's a wonderful, wonderful father to his children. Those two girls, the girls are just outstanding students. Matter of fact, the baby girl just got a scholarship, a two-year scholarship. I've never heard of a 5.7 average.
I see.
I never heard of it. I only knew about a 4.0.
Okay, well, you know, today's school systems are so advanced now.
Yes, but
they give
anyway,
credit for extra everything today.
Yes, she's brilliant. But they're two good girls, very nice girls, very respectable young ladies, and it's because he's a good dad. They have a good mother, but I have to focus on the dad.
Because that's your product.
That's my part.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, let me just take a moment and talk a little bit about some of his accomplishments. Of course, we talked about his NFL career, but he also was fortunate in 2002 to the NFL Minority Fellowship Coaching Program to actually become a coach.
Yes, ma'am.
And Steve Spurrier from University of Florida, where he had actually worked in 1994 to 2000, was the first one to give him a job.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, of course, he then was noticed by Marvin Lewis, and he then, of course, went to the Bingos,
yes,
which is where he had
no,
been.
The Washington Redskins.
And the Washington Redskins. Well,
yes,
Washington Redskins
first.
Were first with Steve Spurrier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
What was it like when he became a coach? That's quite an honor.
What was it like?
I mean, when you got the news, I mean, your chest must have just been so full with just, you know, because that's a phenomenal thing to not only become a coach in the NFL, a craft that you've worked as a player, but to be a minority and to become a coach. That was really history.
But, Ida, my chest was always full.
Okay.
Because of them being good children, because of him being a good man. You know, of course, because of him being a loving child and looking out for his mother, and I tell my daughter-in-laws they have jewels for husbands.
There you go.
They have jewels for husbands because my husband, anytime a young man is good to his mom, he's going to be good to his wife.
Now, what do you do when your son gets married? How does the mother shift her role? How does her role change?
Well, I'll tell you like Ricky told me. Scarlett Huntley, when I get married, I divorce you.
Okay. And how did you handle that?
I think I handle it very well because I have always been a very independent person. Very independent. I like taking care of myself, and whatever my children want to do for me, they're going to do for me anyway, regardless of whether there's a wife or not.
Exactly. So you have to have that confidence that he's still your child no matter what.
Yes.
And that's very important out there because I know when mothers have been involved with sports and they've been taking them to play, and you evidently when he was in Arizona, you had to travel quite a bit to see him, I'm sure.
Yes.
And then, of course, then in the NFL, there's more travel.
Yes.
And then, of course, until they get wise, you have to treat them like your children because you got to clean up behind them and all the great things to go with them.
Until they got to the place where they didn't want me to call them my babies anymore.
Okay. And it's well while noting that your son, Ricky, is just as charitable. He started the Ricky Huntley Football Camp Instructional Nonprofit Center for Boys.
Yeah.
And that has been in existence and doing quite well. It shows that the heart of your heart permeates throughout your children. And I want to note that Lamont, of course, followed in Ricky's footsteps, linebacker, went to University of Arizona, and, of course, was there with Coach Smith, Larry Smith.
Yes.
And under Coach Smith, Ricky, as well as Lamont, are the two consensus All-Americans ever for the University of Arizona.
At the University of Arizona.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, ma'am.
Amazing. And I understand that Lamont played with the Indianapolis Colts for 2 years.
Yes.
And now he is a a very successful businessman in Arizona in the sporting goods business.
Yes, ma'am. He had to stay around the sporting goods. So he is the co-owner of Arizona Health in the city of Tucson.
Well, wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
And he is married, and he is
married with two beautiful girls and a lovely wife. Lovely wife. And he's just, Lamont is the peacemaker of everybody, of the family.
Sort of like the rational voice, or?
Yeah, he's the one that can always make you understand why it should be done this way.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We're going to call him the peacemaker.
Yes.
And then, of course, we get to Kevin. Kevin played sports.
Yes, Kevin played.
Had a few problems with the knees.
With the knees, and he found out that he couldn't play. So, believe it or not, Kevin decided to leave Arizona and come back home. But when he found out when he got home, it wasn't like it was when he was a little boy.
Okay.
So he decided to go back to Arizona to live.
Okay.
And when he got there, in high school, Kevin was into art. And he used to sat in the drive of the walkway at the on a ladder and draw the house.
Ah.
Okay? So today, Kevin is a building engineer. He builds buildings, apartment complexes, and everything in Phoenix, Arizona.
So there's life after sports.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. And then here comes Quentin. Now, Quentin, is he an aspiring athlete, or is he looking at something else totally different?
Quentin played baseball.
Okay.
He was the one. He went to Shawan, I think, for 2 years, and then he came back home. Quentin is, I guess I can say, really the baby person. Derek is the baby, but Quentin is the one that always stayed close to me.
He's a mama's baby.
Mama's baby.
Okay. I'm sure all mothers out there have one child that stays close.
He's gonna stay close to home.
That's right.
Yes,
okay.
He went to live in Arizona for a little while, but he came back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, we have Derek.
Okay, we have Derek. Derek is one that has always been a loner.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Derek, as a little boy, Derek used to leave home when we were living in the projects. Derek used to leave home in the mornings and go over by the pond and play with his little friends. He will come back at lunchtime to eat, but he would go back to play, and I was okay with it as long as I knew where he was.
Yes.
And then before dark, he would always come back home. So Derek has always been one. He had one little friend that lived next door. It was one friend that lived next door. Little Flyball, we called him.
Okay.
And he and Derek, they used to have their little time over by the pond. They used to love staying over by the pond. So Derek is now living in Phoenix also, and he's working for CBS Outdoors.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Again, close to the sports.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, he. I think he sells the billboards. You know, the big billboards
You
see on the side of the road.
Yes.
That's Derek's job.
Well, wonderful. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're getting close to our end of our hour here. We're going to come back and talk about after raising all these kids, she takes on her last child, Rosalind.
Yes.
That love just keeps on flowing. This is Ida Moye, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, and we're talking to Scarlett, Mother Huntley, the mother of 11 children and 56 foster children.
Yes.
We'll be back in three.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. Here you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer. We're into our last half an hour here. And, of course, we have been just enjoying the stories of Scarlett Mother Huntley. She is the mother of NFL great Lamont Huntley and Coach Ricky Huntley. But we've been listening to her tell the story how she raised 11 children and 56 foster children. Now, Scarlett, I want to welcome you back to the show. And I'm just looking at chronologically of all these children that you were involved with, including your own, and then you decided that after Derek, of course, was older, that you were going to take on another child, and the last of that was Roslyn.
Roslyn.
What made you decide to take Roslyn?
Roslyn was having some problems. She was 12, and she had been through several foster homes, and she came to my house, and I think maybe because she was the girl after so long, everybody just fell in love with Roslyn. So, and Roslyn ended up staying with me until she finished high school.
Wonderful.
Yes. So
wonderful.
Now she's out there with, she has two boys and a girl, and she's doing well.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I'm looking back on the history of football in your family and sports, and I know recently someone who was very influential in your family recently died January 2008, and in fact, that was Coach Larry Smith.
Yes.
Tell me how Larry impacted your family. Just, I know he came into University of Arizona after Tony Mason and Coach Davey, but again, he was the one who recruited, he had Ricky, Lamont, and I'm assuming Kevin as well.
No, he didn't recruit Kevin. Kevin just followed the kids to Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, he decided that he wanted to go to school there, so he enrolled. But Larry made a difference because He treated my boys as a father would have. He was that father away from home for them. Cheryl was that mother away from home. And I didn't have to worry about my children as long as I knew that Cheryl and Larry was there. I think they had mothers or families that adopted the players, but the families that adopted them somehow to me, they were closer to Larry and Cheryl. And Larry and Cheryl had their own kids, and it was like one big happy family.
Well, we know having kids coming from Virginia and then coming all the way across country to Arizona, and you particularly not having the money that you necessarily need to make all these trips, you had to have someone you entrusted your kids to. And again, I know, being that you are a great mother, you must have saw something very special in Cheryl, you know, Coach Larry Smith's wife and himself to entrust your children, because I'm certain you probably wouldn't have done it otherwise in that regard.
And I would have been in Arizona if I had to walk.
Well, we've got a caller. We're going to go ahead and take a call from Lamont. Lamont, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hello, Scott Hunley.
Hey, Lamont, that's my baby.
Well, hello there, Lamont. How are you?
Well, you know there's a fondness and a greatness when you can call your mom by the first name.
That's pretty outstanding. A lot of kids can't do that, you know. Or you have to be very brave, too.
And especially when you said Scholar Hunley.
As a son and kid to Scholar Hunley and the rest of our family, we are very proud of our mom. She did raise us all by herself, you know, as a female. And that's one of the things in my life, as far as the thing that she's given me, is to force me and show that I have so much respect for females. It's every part of my life, my kids, my wife, my mother, my grandma, and it all comes from our mother, because of the fact that how she raised us and you know, the things that she instilled in us and forced us to do as young men and young women. Excuse my my talking here. I just got off a piece of exercise equipment, so I was just...
That's okay. Well, you know, I'm talking to your mom and listening to her legacy here of what she's done and how she did all this. And I think sometimes, you know, you think, well, how could she have done it? But we know that there must have been a lot of love and a lot of God in that house.
Oh, yes. I mean, love, God, respect, a lot of help from the community just as well. I mean, we had a lot of uncles and aunts, friends, neighbors, who made sure everything was taken care of. I mean, Scholar Hunley had to go out there and bring food to the house. She had to make sure we had a roof over our head. She had to make sure, you know, there was food on the table. And the rule in our house was, when she leads, the oldest is always in charge. And from that point on in life, it's still that way. You know, we always respect the oldest sibling.
Okay.
The fact that was the direction that she gave us and taught us and instilled in us.
So when you and, of course, Ricky went out to Arizona, how was it leaving home?
You know, it was pretty easy, because I had to give my beds up to a lot of these foster kids.
Okay.
So I know if I move out to Arizona, I have my own bed. So,
you were looking forward to that one, weren't you?
That was a no-brainer there. So, the beautiful thing is the love was always there. I mean, the love was given, again, not only to her kids, but the kids that she brought within the house. And and those kids that she brought into the house, they you know, still show that respect to our mother. And they didn't look at her as scholar. They look at us as their mother, you know, not a foster mother. They looked at her as being their
actual mother. In other words, the same love that they would expect in a mother, they were getting directly from her, which is outstanding.
Right.
Well, Lamont, I'm glad you're on the line here, because, Scarlett, today you are being awarded as the Sports Maverick of the Week.
Wow.
By Sports Maverick. So you will go in history, of course, as one of our Sports Mavericks, making a difference and leaving a great legacy in not only sports but in life. So I'm so glad Lamont is on here to be able to share that with you in that regard. And, of course, we will be sending out to you the wonderful Sports Maverick Award. And as a result of that, we'll be enshrining you on Wikipedia. And we will have a story on PR Web that will be coming out next week in your honor.
Oh, how nice.
So this way, when people are looking for you, they just have to go to Google. and they can find you, okay?
Tomorrow I'm going to be famous.
That's right.
We always be famous.
So, and, you know, just so delighted to be able to bestow that honor on you. And to our listeners out there, you know, I met this lovely woman last week at the Max Starks NFL Youth Football Program. And out of 500 kids, you know, and several NFL coaches as well as NFL players, she shined the most. She was busy as a bumblebee, helping everybody out, doing what she could, and really enjoying herself. And again, that was a credit to NFL mothers, because a lot of times NFL mothers do not get recognized.
And I was the oldest one there.
No. So as you can see, your little small D's did not go unnoticed.
No, it didn't.
In that regard. Well, we are getting ready to end our show, another great show. We're looking forward to again seeing you back here next week with our next special guest. And again, you'll have to tune in to see who that is, because believe me, hearing from redefining elite athletes is going to be one of the greatest series you've heard from us. And bringing these parents on to talk about this will be the greatest lessons you mothers out there with aspiring athletes will want to learn. Again, learn before you make the pitfalls. This is Ida Moya, your host, and I want to just thank you again, Scarlett, for being our guest. And Lamont, thank you again. And we're signing off for Sports Maverick. This is Ida Moye, your host. Good evening.
Good evening. You got to do it.
Thank you for joining Ida Moye and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.